everybody. I'm Sherry Kane.
And I'm Dr. Len Horowitz. Thanks for joining us.
People think that the government just infiltrated the conspiracy movement, but no, they actually created it from the start.
It has the whole background of connections between the drug industrialists and the media moguls, so that the programming on television and Hollywood even is outcoming from the same sources of counterintelligence that keep us enslaved to a dysfunctional and degenerative and intoxicating paradigm called modern medicine.
I mean, they have arms all over the place. It's unbelievable what these people can do and how relentless they are.
It's a fascinating time, and there's more and more revelations coming out about who's trustworthy and who's not. People and that this great nation depends upon the balance of powers that freedom of the press holds, and if you can't depend on even the independent media to tell you the truth, because it's been infiltrated by COINTELPRO operatives, which we've been increasingly evidencing materially, proving.
The diversion, the lies.
And so that now we're faced with having to develop alternatives in the alternative media.
The way they discredit everything that's really serious out there.
An energy weapon, and it exploded right outside the window that I would typically sit at, and the shock wave of energy went through the glass.
This is over and over again.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
wonder what the hell is the matter with people. Who the hell is telling the truth out there, and who the hell isn't?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Horror Kane Hour. I'm Sherry Kane.
And Dr. Len Horowitz.
We come to you Monday through Friday, 12 noon in Hawaii, 2 p.m. Pacific time, and 5 p.m. on the East Coast. Thank you to our sponsors, healthyworldaffiliates.com/4948. If you're not an affiliate, please sign up today. You will be helping and supporting and partnering with the Horror Kane Hour, as well as this network, Late Night in the Midlands. Also, you'll be receiving discounts on products. You'll receive commissions from people who purchase products by signing up under you, and it's completely free. It's a great opportunity to have access to some of the most amazing products on the planet. We also have a 528 section in there. Most of our products are infused with 528 hertz, and so check it out. Also, you check out healthyworldstore.com. We also have products in there as well, infused with 528 hertz frequency. We also have Dr. Horowitz's books, tapes, and DVDs available on healthyworldstore.com. And it's a great opportunity for you to just go online and just check out what we have. And if you like what you see, you may want to look onto our affiliate site, healthyworldaffiliates.com/4948, and see if you can get the products at a discount. Also, thanks to our other sponsor, CureShop, CureShoppe.com, for your awesome products and supporting us, as well as putting on Dr. Horowitz's books, tapes, and DVDs on your site. If you are a musician, we encourage you to sign up with 528records.com. After you upload your original track, it will automatically be transposed into the 528 hertz frequency of love for medicinal healing and health. And then it will be sent back to you in an MP3 file. After that, it will become part of our music library. And anyone who donates for your music, you will get 60% royalties from that. So it's an awesome opportunity. It's better than any other record company on the planet, and also you can help people medicinally with it automatically being transposed into the 528 hertz frequency. If you already actually record your music in 528, which is actually taking 440 hertz and moving it up to 444 hertz frequency, which puts your C into 528, then you don't need to have it transposed. Just upload it to our 528records.com site, and it will again be available on the music library, and anyone who donates for it, you will get 60% royalties from that. Also, check out 528radio.com. That site is actually sustained by donations, so we thank you so much for all the people who are donating to keep that site alive. We appreciate it. If you like 528radio.com, please support us by going there and donating to keep the site alive so we can increase our server space and help support the webmasters who are actually keeping that site going and running. So thank you to all those people out there who supported us. And welcome to the Hurricane Hour.
Well, thanks for joining us. Well, this has been a very eventful weekend here in Hawaii, but also nationwide with regard to marijuana. There is headline news not only coming out of Associated Press, but also the feature headline story on the Sunday Star Advertiser, the Honolulu Star Advertiser, deals with an acquaintance of mine. I would like to call Roger Christie, a marijuana minister in Hawaii who's incarcerated now for several years, and his trial has been delayed now, and we'd like to cover this matter today. I'd like to call Roger a friend. However, we haven't had that much communication. I am very familiar with Roger. I really appreciated Roger, what he was doing, what he was attempting to do to become America's first bona fide certified marijuana minister. That is an actual religious official who was certified, legitimate, that could advance a ministry of marijuana to begin to use it as a sacrament for religious purposes. And frankly, I'd like to get into this issue today because Roger's incarcerated still, and there is so much happening politically, geopolitically, economically, and with regard to marijuana commercially, that I think it's really appropriate that we spend the next hour on the Hurricane Hour discovering what it is that's not being told by the Associated Press and by the local newspapers. Whether or not it can help Roger, I don't know. There is a large movement politically to attempt to get Roger out of jail, to expose the federal government of the United States as being, in his particular case, as well, as we know many cases, illegitimate and operating illegally, to suppress the entire hemp industry. And so we're going to delve into this matter today on the Hurricane Hour.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it really seems unfair. There is like six or seven senators actually that came forward and said that they're holding him without any sort of trial or anything. And basically, that's unfair and unconstitutional. And I agree with that. I mean, how can they just throw him in jail without asking any questions?
Let me just clarify that. They're basically claiming, and the reason why they've kept him in jail without bail, without the capacity to get out of jail, is because they're claiming that he represents a risk to the community, because they're claiming that when he was busted, when his organization, first of all, was infiltrated, and the infiltration of his organization, which was a very upfront, very kind of like right on Main Street in the biggest city on the Big Island of Hawaii, is Hilo. It's the capital, and that basically he was right there. He was selling to police officers. He would tell us, Sherry and I visited him a number of times, he would tell us about some of the members of his ministry that included police officials, and it was very open what he was doing. And they claimed, however, now the federal government has claimed that he represents a risk because after he was busted, his organization was infiltrated by federal officials, and that he sold some of his marijuana and administered as a ministry to these people who infiltrated, claiming to be members of his ministry. Now, he sold them the marijuana, and then, of course, they busted him, and then he still, because Roger, and we do know Roger pretty well, I'm going to give you some additional background on Roger that very few people know. But basically, it's my opinion, and it's just an opinion, that Roger is a nice guy, very clearly a very nice man, but he's also very sincere. When we visited his ministry, for example, and we did so as an investigative journalist, and just to give you a little bit of background on my orientation to the medical marijuana scene and to the legal aspects of it. If you go back to Massachusetts, way back to the late 1970s, you can actually discover the Massachusetts state legislature held hearings into the decriminalization of marijuana. That's a long time ago. And I had actually testified, because back in the June issue of 1978 of the American Dental Association Journal, I have the featured article. It's a front page cover article in the Journal of the American Dental Association. It's a marijuana leaf on the cover, and that's my featured article. It's based on research that I conducted while I was at Tufts University School of Dental Medicine as a senior there, just about graduating. We had to write a senior thesis, and I did it on a review of marijuana in relation to cardiovascular and respiratory response mechanisms in the dental patient, stating that if people got high before they went to see the dentist and the dentist injected them with 1 to 50,000 epinephrine in the Novocaine or the Xylocaine that they administered for local anesthesia, then what could happen to the marijuana smoking patient is that they could suffer from heart failure. Well, that was really big news back then, and I was interviewed by every major news network, and it was a big story. Of course, it went along with the agenda to create fear in marijuana smokers and in the general public. And basically, you know, if I look back on it, well, I've published many, many better, well-researched scientific publications. But it was a good, very, very good and interesting review, but it wasn't what I would consider a high quality, the highest quality of science. But it was politically correct for the establishment. And I went as by invitation to the Massachusetts State Legislature, and I actually testified stating that I did not believe, in my opinion, based on the physiology and the pharmacology of THC, of marijuana component, tetrahydrocannabinol, that's the main hallucinogen, the psychoactive component, that I didn't feel that it was appropriate to basically let it out without some regulation. That certainly it was not a criminal activity. It certainly should be decriminalized. But in terms of full legalization of marijuana, I was opposed to it. And I still today have opposition to it on some levels. I find, however, that it's a gross hypocrisy to allow products on the market, such as sugar, such as salt, such as caffeine, such as nicotine, such as alcohol, and have all of those products be available over the counter, and yet marijuana not. So it's outrageous. There's something more important going on. And if you study the marijuana literature, you find that what's taking place is an outrageous antitrust regulation. It is a monopolization by the pharmaceutical cartel and the drug advocates and the drug dealers. This is the international drug cartel to suppress every aspect of hemp and marijuana because it holds the capacity to evolutionize, revolutionize virtually every industry, even energy. When you look at, you can produce with hemp, you can produce alcohol, you can produce fuel, you can produce things that move your energy and engines and systems to free us from the, not just the drug cartel, but really, literally, the energy cartel. And so this is what it is. There's the secrets, and again, look at the color in the plant. If you are a fan of mine and Sherry's and you've been listening to this program and you've been listening to 528radio.com, you know that 528 frequency of greenish yellow is the color and virtually sound of the sun, the heart of the sunshine, is greenish yellow 528, and that's the marijuana leaf. That's the pigment chlorophyll, and that holds a resonant energy that literally is healing. And so there's a whole body of research that deals with not only the science and the pharmacology of marijuana, but the politics and the economics of allowing it to be deregulated, or at least enabled to engage in industries that it could be helpful. It's all being regulated. And so in that context, now we've got literally a personal acquaintance of ours, Roger Christie, who has been, you know, aging in jail now, and he is now still holding very firmly to his belief that he feels that he's not a victim of this, that it's an opportunity for him to express the truth about marijuana, its use as religious sacraments in Jesus' day. And why I basically brought this up is because when we visited Roger, he was very sincere. He pulled out a huge early edition of the King James Bible and took Sherry and I on a tour of it that talked about the use of hemp in the various medicinals that were used for warding off plagues and infectious diseases of Jesus's age, and that it was used in combinations with a variety of other essential oils. Hemp oil was used in the early formulations. And so, you know, I know Roger's sincerity is certainly there. Now, let me give you a little bit more background that very few people know about Roger. When I first met Roger Christie, and again, his goal is to be the first recognized marijuana religious rights activist advocate in the United States. When we first met Roger, he called me up when virtually the first couple of weeks I came to the Big Island of Hawaii, and he invited me to lecture to the chiefs of police that were having an upcoming meeting to determine whether or not they would allow the hepatitis B vaccine into the police departments in the state of Hawaii to consider the risks and the problems with the vaccine. And so I testified, I by Roger Christie's invitation, I attended the chiefs of police meeting, and I presented my work showing the links between hepatitis B vaccinations and a plethora of horrific illnesses, including HIV/AIDS. And so from that presentation, I understand that the state of Hawaii's police department officials typically reject the use of hepatitis B vaccines for themselves and their families. So from that perspective, I believe we've saved a lot of lives. And I believe that my presence there without Roger Christie would not have happened. And I believe that Roger Christie, therefore, is a very sincere, very loving person who wants to protect the public's health, does not want to infringe on the public's health. And that's why he's incarcerated currently. The federal court justices have determined, based on the evidence, that Roger Christie, after he was busted, still continued to sell, via his ministry, this marijuana. And it was a large industry. It wasn't just, you know, like a little mom-pa operation. Roger had about a half a dozen co-conspirators who were growing massive amounts of marijuana, up to 2,500 plants.
Well, and that's what they say.
Well, that's what they're claiming.
And
this is,
God knows if it's true.
Well, I believe that it's true because, again, when you know, for example, this is an industry that is extremely lucrative and very, very important to the drug cartel in many ways. The mafia. If you actually, and this is part of the subject matter I'd like to talk about, if you're a mafia boss, you're certainly going to have a protection racket going. It's been that way for mafias for a long time. And your protection racket involves people who are virtually controlled as even opposition. Like if you set up Roger Christie to go down, and then you express the fact that he's the one who's out there saying, well, marijuana should be completely decriminalized, legalized, and or used medicinally, not only for medicine, but also in religious activities. And you've got him controlled. Then you've got what's called controlled opposition. And you've got a security racket going. And essentially, that's what this, in my opinion, amounts to. This is a securitization of the Sherman Antitrust Act violations. This is a violation of free trade, of the lacking monopolization rights that we are supposed to have under our legislators. We're supposed to have freedom to live happily and freedom to life, liberty, pursuits of happiness. And one of those things is to be able to use what God gives us naturally and freely to our advantage, so long as we're not hurting anyone. And so this is what the fundamental reality is, but it's being suppressed. Why? Because there are drug industrialists at the FDA who are regulating through the justice system, or the system of injustice in this case particularly, where you've got now controlling your opposition. You've got controlled opposition as a securitization for your monopolization over the industries that could be literally transformed by having hemp be active in every single virtually industry. And so, I mean, people make cloth out of it. You probably are aware of that. Rope. There's all sorts of medicinals that can be made. There's all sorts of energy products that can be made. There's books written of hundreds and hundreds of uses of hemp and marijuana seeds and the nutritional value, and you could feed the world. You could do all sorts of things. Now, for regulating it as it is, it's an obvious crime in an economic sense, geopolitical sense. You are regulating what God gave us and sustains us with, ultimately, this whole concept of energy sourcing from the sunshine through the greenish yellow plants, the chlorophyll, of course, and we've talked about that a lot. If you're interested in this subject, read the book of 528, Prosperity Key of Love. Go to the book of 528.com and read about the miracles of how Creator works through the sunshine, through the air, through the electrons that are resonating and vibrating most fundamentally at 528 hertz frequency of sound and 528 nanometers of light. And you'll see why it is that hemp is so medicinal beyond the THC component. That's my research. And so Roger and I talked a lot about various things. And I came away with, not only as somebody who is well educated in the science of THC, but also with my heart involved as I am in Judeo-Christian theology, looking at the Old Testament, looking at the New Testament, bringing in the understanding of what is happening geopolitically from a religious or theological perspective. I was very, very interested in what Roger was doing. And so that's what brought us to Roger's ministry. And we sat for hours and we talked.
Yes, exactly. He's a really nice guy. I have lots of photos I took with him, and he really is sincere about his religion. And that's the whole thing. There are other people that we know that are running around in the name of religion that are able to do all sorts of crimes and continue in their crimes and damage people. And here, this nice man who just, you know, has a religion where he believes in using marijuana for different healing and for different resources, is in jail without a trial. It's just horrible. And actually, they keep delaying it. They haven't given him any sort of appeal. They haven't even given him any bond.
I think what we want to do is we want to read to you what is being put out in terms of the propaganda. I would like to not only go into the local news, but I'd like to also, as I mentioned, the Associated Press and the national news, and comment on the spin, because that is a valuable exercise in this particular case, because when you begin to read between the lines of the propaganda, you'll see what I'm talking about here in terms of this being a regulated industry. Who's profiting? They're not going to tell you, but we're going to tell you here on the Hurricane Hour.
Yes, so here's what it says. It was in the Star Advertiser yesterday, titled "Trial for Big Island Advocate Delayed. Roger Christie in custody since 2010 on federal drug counts faces new charges." Big Island marijuana advocate Roger Christie has spent more than 2.5 years in federal custody pending trial on marijuana trafficking, will have to spend at least 5 more months behind bars. The jury trial was pushed back to July, partly because he was indicted by a federal grand jury last month on additional marijuana and tax charges. Christie, 63, an icon among marijuana advocates, promoted the religious use of the drug for years on Hawaii Island of the Hawaii Cannabis THC ministry, and has become a symbol for what his supporters say is unfair prosecution and detention because of his views. "I want to be the first recognized legitimate cannabis ministry in U.S. history," Christie told a federal judge last year during his 7th and last unsuccessful bid to be released on bail. Christie maintains that marijuana is part of his ministry, but federal prosecutors say he used the religious freedom argument to shield a large-scale, marijuana business that catered to as many as 70 customers a day. Federal judges have agreed with prosecutors that Christie poses a danger if he's released. Christie's court case has become part of the marijuana debate here and nationally, where it has led to voters in Washington and Colorado legalizing personal marijuana use. In Hawaii, the House Judiciary Committee heard a measure to legalize up to an ounce of pot before the committee tabled the measure, essentially killing it for this session. But some state senators believe Christie has been treated unfairly. 6 senators signed Senate Resolution 12, introduced this month, saying Christie's treatment by federal authorities and his detention are illegal and unconstitutional. "I definitely think that under the circumstances that the federal government should take another look at whether or not this is a case worth pursuing and a case worth dedicating federal tax dollars to," Christie's court-appointed lawyer Thomas Otake told the Star Advertiser earlier this month. U.S. Attorney Florence Nakakuni said this month, the propriety of any criminal case is always a consideration, but said they expect to pursue the Christie case to its conclusion in the criminal justice system. She said she cannot disclose the reasons, but in a letter sent to state lawmakers earlier this month, Nakakuni said a core priority of the Justice Department is the prosecution of business enterprises that illegally sell and market marijuana.
Okay, stop for a second there. Just make a note where you are, Sherry. We'll come back to read it. But notice that she's not. Now, this is the federal prosecutor saying that, A, she can't tell you the real reason why, but it has to do with a huge amount of business and commercialization. Now, let me just go into the Big Island of Hawaii and what it represents. I mean, people ever have heard, if you're a marijuana smoker, of things like Maui Wowie and Hawaiian hemp pot has always carried a high quality type of insignia to it. And I want you to know that back in 1987, when the federal officials began to do the marijuana eradication program, it was called Green Harvest. That's interesting because we have a product in the Healthy World store. It's an awesome product that I live off of virtually. It's called Green Harvest too, but we named it not from this federal project, Green Harvest. As a result of the Green Harvest program, in 1 year, 1987, there were $11.5 billion in marijuana plants confiscated, 80% of which was from the Big Island of Hawaii, where Rogers' ministry was active. That's $11.5 billion. So that's about $10 billion in 1 year. That is huge money. And if you know anything about the Big Island of Hawaii, or actually Hawaiian government, you know how it is completely corrupted by this kind of organized crime. Big money mafia operates very, very well here, as well as it does elsewhere. And again, you know, study my history. I grew up in New Jersey. It's likewise as corrupt in New Jersey. My father was a politician. I know about the corruption. It killed him. And my high school roommate, my Rutgers College roommate was Robert Torricelli, who was ousted as a Senator Torricelli after selling trade secrets to the Chinese government. That was my college roommate. So I know very well what goes on in politics when it deals with mafioso characters and organized crime. And I can tell you that when you have an $11 billion opportunity that grows annually, in other words, that 1 year of $11 billion theft from the small, mostly the small growers on Hawaii, when you have that much money, that is very tempting for the mafia. And they don't, just like we have exposed previously, Sherry and I have done an outstanding job exposing the fact that when, for example, the FBI took over the Ku Klux Klan, infiltrated it under J. Edgar Hoover, they did not shut it down. They infiltrated it, and they're still using it to this very day. It's called control, just like controlling opposition, like the Centers for Disease Control. They control the diseases. They control the economy. They control the cancer industry. They're making profit off of humanity's suffering. This is the way it works. So you're really dealing with a mob. And so the federal prosecutor here is telling you, she can't tell you about the mob that is controlling the drug cartel. But she's going to tell you that it's very valuable and it represents an industry that they want to continue to operate. And they're going to be continuing to persecute Roger Christie and anyone else who comes out on the side of freeing we the people from this organized crime.
Yeah, it's unbelievable what they're doing. It's insane. And the thing is that, you know, they're also doing it because they definitely want to bring in, I know that, with the one world government, they want to bring in this whole thing of using drugs for, we talked about this, for using drugs for religious freedom. And they could be using him as an example for that. Like,
yeah.
You know, to bring that on, like to bring, you know, to stir up things, to make things happen. And this poor guy has been sitting in jail since 2010.
Before you start reading again, Sherry, let me just pick up on what you just said. The link between marijuana and religion and the cartel's manipulation of the marijuana, but also the drug industry and its relationship to religion, happens to be premier also, heavily featured here in Hawaii, on the Big Island of Hawaii, in the Hilo area, represented by a man by the name of Paul J. Sulla Jr. And you can go to paulsullafraud.com, paulsullafraud.com, and you can begin to understand the links between this one attorney who is heavily engaged in promoting not just marijuana, but also ayahuasca, which contains the controlled narcotic called DMT, a heavy hallucinogen used for religious purposes. And that ultimately, when you start to see the links between the Central Intelligence Agency, there are six links. There's four definitive links between the Central Intelligence Agency that operates largely as a drug-running cartel and a drugs-and-arms operation. And this Paul J. Sulla Jr. and his son, you will begin to then understand why it was that Paul Sulla was a consulting person for Roger Christie. We're investigating the possibility that he was engaged in the infiltration and the double crossing of Roger, and that we are also investigating what's happening with the money that Paul Sulla Jr. is raising, supposedly for Roger Christie's Freedom Fund and Legal Fund. And we're also investigating the fact that when Roger Christie first met yours truly, he explained to me how he first got involved in religion. And by the way, religion, understand it, when you read the Paul Sulla Fraud section dealing with the CIA, you will understand the links between the ayahuasca and the psychotropic drug empire that is based on supposedly a religious use of this controlled narcotic, DMT, and its formulation in ayahuasca sacrament, they call it, or community medicine, and the likelihood that the New World Order evolution of religion, one world religion, that is not based on traditional Judeo-Christian or Muslim theology or monotheism. No, no, no. It's not a monotheistic religion. It is a generic spiritual kind of theology and practice that features drug use, features marijuana and psychotropic drugs, including LSD. So Timothy Leary, Alan Watts, this fellow who was growing the ayahuasca on the Big Island of Hawaii, McKenna. His name is McKenna. You can research these characters. They are at the forefront, along with Dr. Stanley Krippner, in advancing the Central Intelligence Agency's efforts to turn on and drop out the populations, particularly on the college campuses. You might remember Harvard and Timothy Leary, this whole concept of turning on and dropping out through the use of psychotropics, hallucinogens, because again, this is a drug cartel operation. They would be making the money producing and controlling the psychotropics as the new religion. And if you have any brain, you know that the world is divided largely. People are controlled largely by government, the judicial systems in government, and religion, and the judicial system, the laws of religious beliefs. So you're going to either get judged by creator through religion and the indoctrination thereby, or through the law enforcement and the Justice Department on behalf of the governments. So if you take over both, you're in prime time monopolization opportunityville. You really have got it all handled. And that's fundamentally what this is about. When we met Roger, when I met Roger.
We have to take a break. Oh, yeah. It's actually, we don't have that much time.
Okay, sounds good.
So we're going to take a break and then we're going to come back.
We'll come back. I'm going to tell you how I met Roger and what he was doing.
All right. Stay tuned, everybody. You're listening to the Horrorcane Hour.
Is there proof of God's existence in our government's records? Author Jose Collazo brings his years of research into this stunning question to light in God Does Exist, No More Nuclear Testing, and More. Touching on little-known government projects such as the Remote Viewers Program and Active Auroral Research Program, Collazo has uncovered some amazing discoveries through his research and use of the Freedom of Information Act. From uncovered information on the Ark of the Covenant to connections between natural disasters and nuclear testing, experience this revealing look into our government's obscure and hidden work. Discover how new and experimental technologies may change our world forever and uncover monumental proof and answers to mankind's greatest questions in God Does Exist, No More Nuclear Testing, and More.
Hello, this is Michael Vera for CureShop.com with products endorsed by Dr. Leonard Horowitz, including Liquid Dentist, a one-stop defense system for not only your mouth, but your whole body. This unprecedented product aggressively attacks the critters that cause oral diseases using concentrated microfine silver plus oxygen and minerals to help reverse tooth decay and gum diseases, helping repair your teeth and gums naturally. Then, by swallowing this amazing and good-tasting tooth and gum saver, you actually get a natural, nutritional immunization against more than 1,000 strains of oral bacteria and viruses when you swallow. Liquid Dentist is awesome for boosting natural immunity. Imagine your teeth feeling hygienic, clean, and super smooth for up to 3 days after each use. Swish with it 3 minutes or more after brushing and flossing. Gargle to freshen and protect your throat, and then swallow Liquid Dentist. Wow! What a great idea. It's all natural, healing, and protective. Dr. Horwood's developed Liquid Dentist based on emerging science from England, showing a 20-second exposure to medical-grade ozone kills germs deep within decay, even down to the nerve. Then highly concentrated mineral mouth rinsing can remineralize your teeth and harden them even harder than they were originally. This way, teeth can be saved and not drilled away or lost due to decay or tooth fracture. Plus, Liquid Dentist kills periodontal germs and leaves your breath fresh and teeth feeling professionally clean for days. Go to liquiddentist.net to learn more, or go to cureshop.com. That's cureshop.com, CureShoppe.com, to order your supply of Liquid Dentist today, or call toll-free 1-888-621-7611. That's 1-888-621-7611. Call now to save your smile. You're listening to the L&M Radio Network. The L&M Radio Network covers it all, with great shows like Tough Reality, Paranormal Perception, The Hurricane Hour, Angel's Lighthouse, Mysterious Realms, and of course our very own, Late Night in the Midlands. So when you think of a network that takes an interest in everything, think of a network that covers everything. The L&M Radio Network, exploring the truth and exposing the lies, day and night. For the full lineup on times and dates of the shows we generate, go to www.latenightinthemidlands.com and click the on-air schedule tab at the top of the website. We want to stick around and continue to bring you the best guests and the best shows from around the globe with the best information. And we cannot do it without your support. So please, spread our content as much as you can and donate on the website by going to www.latenightinthemidlands.com, and on the right side of the page you will see the donate buttons, and you can rest assured that every penny you donate goes to help the L&M Radio Network stay on the air and expose the world one truth. One truth. One truth.